Around the world and coast to coast, this is the Phil Nason Show.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Phil Nason Show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Phil Nason Show. I am so happy to have you here. If you're listening on Armed Forces Radio, we want to send you a big shout out. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. You can also find us over at philnasonshow.com, where you can listen to the show on demand if you're not in the armed forces. I got to tell you, we are presented by Bovada and the Dollar Shave Club, two awesome companies that I'm so proud to be a part of. And I got to tell you, I got a great show today, a real great show. I met this young fella two summers ago at Camp Caribou, where he was the basketball coach and I obviously was the tennis pro, or one of them. And I got to tell you, I hit it off with him immediately. He played college basketball at Green Mountain College in Vermont. And more importantly, his knowledge of basketball was just outstanding. It was so much fun to talk to him on my front porch. And I got to tell you, man, I think of this kid like a son. That's how much I respect him and care about him. I've loved watching him grow up, become a man, actually. Please welcome from PurePointHoops.com, Rob Holloway. You are in the house. How you doing, man?
I'm great, Phil, man. Thank you for having me on the show, and I really appreciate the kind words.
Are you kidding
me? Hopefully I can live up to them, but...
You already have, dude. We could shut off the recorder now, and you already have. I just can't believe how far you've come in such a short amount of time, and I'm so proud of you. And I want to know what Pure Point Hoops is. I already know what it is, but the listener doesn't, so... Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Tell us a little bit about you, too.
Well, I'm a guy originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, born and raised till I was about 13. Moved out to the Bay Area, California. From then is where I kind of started learning about basketball. I picked up basketball when I was actually a freshman in high school, and was fortunate enough to meet guys like yourself, mentors, to really show me the way. Teach me the game, and I was able to play college basketball out here in Vermont, which is where I am now. So since then, after playing, you know, I've really developed a passion for the game on a more cerebral level. I really like helping players develop. I like developing players' basketball IQ. So, and I pair that with the NBA now, and that's pretty much what Pure Point is going to be for me. It's going to be a way for me to kind of break down analytics, you know, watch a few games here and there, and just pretty much, you know, regurgitate what I see and how I feel about what the league is doing, where the league is going, certain players and certain teams. And hopefully I can get some really great basketball conversations with guys like yourself.
Well, I hope so, too. I tell you what, we're going to. Are you kidding me? We're going to. What do you like about the Lakers this year?
What do I like about the Lakers is... the hype behind Lonzo Ball.
Okay.
And a lot of guys really don't see it as a positive thing. And in the way that I see it, before the Lakers drafted Lonzo, everyone knew that they were a bottom feeder in the Western Conference. You know, the Western Conference is super competitive. But, you know, I feel like I still haven't grown accustomed to the LA Lakers being a losing team in the West, you know, because they've had winning seasons for pretty much their whole franchise. So, you know, guys like Kobe Bryant coming in, super talented, Shaquille O'Neal. We can go all the way back to, you know, Magic Johnson. I love what Magic Johnson is doing with these guys now in his first year running the show. So great move drafting Lonzo. And it's really about just getting the hype behind the Lakers now because it's showtime. It's L.A. You got guys wanting to come out and see this guy. And I think that was the first time me hearing about people selling out a summer league game. They actually sold out summer league games to come see Lonzo. So I'm actually super excited about Lonzo Ball.
Well, you should be. You know, if you take away his daddy, nobody calls this kid a bust. That's what's unfortunate. You know, I have a completely different take on his father. I think in a lot of cases, young men don't have fathers. This guy is in his son's life, all three of his son's lives. It looks like he did a pretty good job raising them. You know, forget about these little sunglasses and all that foolishness. Kids will be kids. But the end of the day is, people are calling Lonzo Ball a bust. I think it's premature. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with the hype that his father created. But let's face it, this kid can play. And once he learns how to shoot, you know, he's got that funny little left to right thing. Once he learns how to shoot, once he takes that hitch out of his shot, he's going to be okay. You know, he's done pretty well the last two or three games. He looks mature. But this Kuzma kid, he's the best rookie on the team right now, I think. And I think what you said about the excitement, I go back even before Magic Johnson days. I hate to date myself like that. But when we're going to talk about Ben Simmons in a minute. I wouldn't put Lonzo as like this face of the franchise. I think that's a little too much. But I will say this. I've been pleasantly surprised by what he's been able to accomplish because of the hype. I mean, it's not an easy place to play in Los Angeles, I wouldn't think.
No, definitely not, man. And I've seen guys, well, we all have seen guys like even with the talent level of a guy like Dwight Howard come to L.A. and, you know, be compared to those great guys. And, you know, he kind of, you know, for one reason or another, it didn't work out. So this Kuzma kid, man, like, and I think another reason why the Lakers and, you know, a lot of the people are kind of, you know, calling Lonzo a bust is because they're comparing Kuzma to Lonzo and they're really getting caught up in his draft stock, you know, number two overall pick. And, these high expectations for high picks. And honestly, I think I agree with you. It's definitely premature. And they're kind of overlooking all the other things that this guy's doing. I feel like they're so predicated on his shot and the way his shot looks and, you know, his scoring numbers, but he's doing a whole lot more other things out there.
Look at their pace rate. They lead the NBA 105.1 per 100 possessions. That's pretty freaking good. You know, that's what you have to do. The other thing about this Kuzma and comparing Ball's getting the best that every team has night after night. He's starting. Kuzma's coming off the bench now because they're a little more healthier than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's playing a difference too because you're playing against second team guys. You're coming in either with a big lead or a big deficit. So there's not as much pressure on Kuzma to succeed. And that's the difference there. I think it's unfair to compare the two. I think it's premature to call Lonzo Ball a bust. I also think it's premature to label Kuzma as this next star. I think we just have to wait and see. But I like what I'm seeing. Luke Walton's done a good job managing their minutes. He's teaching, you know, a lot of teachable opportunities there with this young team. They have a couple of veterans, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Lopez is in there too, kind of help things out. This is going to be a decent team. But I would say this. If it were me, I'm not the coach, obviously. I would like to be the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers someday because I'd like to have coffee with Jeannie Buss. You know, I ain't going to lie.
Yeah, Jeannie.
I ain't going to lie. But here's the thing. If you bring Lonzo off the bench and Jordan Clarkson is playing great basketball off the bench, if you flip-flop these roles, Lonzo Ball's in the running for Rookie of the Year.
I agree. And like you said, he's seeing the best of, you know, of the world. You know, I think the point guard position is the hardest position to play in the game of basketball. Absolutely. And especially in the NBA, because you got guys that are athleticism out of this world, speed and quickness. You know, you got guys jumping through the gym now, big, tall guards too. So about 6'6", 6'7", point guards nowadays. So like you said, he's seeing the best of the best. Night in, night out. You know, the point guard is probably the heaviest, most talented position in the NBA now. So so if you did make that swap for Clarkson and Lonzo in the starting lineup, I'm not sure he'd be running for – I'm not sure he's beating out Ben Simmons for the Rookie of the Year, but I think he is in that conversation.
That's fair enough. And I
think Lonzo is one of those guys that he can play up to the competition depending on the type of system he's in. One, and I think Luke Walton is doing a great job of that, putting a system in place and for Lonzo to really thrive. But I think he also needs pieces around him that are going to complement him and vice versa. You know, this Laker team is a really young team. They're talented, but they're young. You know, they're dead last in the league in turnovers. You know, they're turning it over 17 times a game. So I think when they get some more veteran talent in there and some more veteran leadership, somebody that can really, really score the ball. I mean, no knock to Ingram at all, because he's improved from last year, but he's not quite what people projected him to be at this point in his career. You know, he still is only a second year guy. His numbers are up, you know, shooting it about, I think he's averaging 16 and about 5.
Right.
So he's doing a little bit better, but he's not quite the scorer that a guy like Lonzo, who's so willing to defer to a scorer, he's going to really, you know, going to really thrive with. So he needs an athletic wing to really complement Lonzo's game.
And that's fair enough, too. That's a very good observation. I happen to agree with that. The thing is, though, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope kind of eats up some of that usage that maybe Ingram should have. But they need Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to protect mm-hmm. Lonzo Ball. You saw what happened opening night. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is out, suspended. Patrick Beverley, well, let's face it, Patrick Beverley tore Lonzo Ball a new one.
But he owned him.
You know, he has, but that's what he's going to do. See, that's who Patrick Beverley is. But then he came back the next night against Phoenix, and I know Eric Bledsoe was a little ticked off at the time, but he still lit him up. And that was a good thing. That showed he had a little heart. But I also like Julius Randle on this Lakers team. This kid, you know, he has basically lost his role, and he's never complained once. He's had his name in the papers for being lazy and not showing up to practice and this and that, trade rumors. And he goes out there and comes off the bench and does his job, keeps his mouth shut. This is going to be a good team. I look for them to make a couple moves. I don't see them sitting pat. Randle is one of those guys they can sell really high right now, and I think they may do that. But this is a nice team. And you mentioned Ben Simmons. Let's talk about the Sixers here, dude. Ben Simmons. Now, I had the privilege of watching Irvin Magic Johnson when he was a senior in high school. And I couldn't believe. I never saw a dude dribble like that at that height.
Mm. And what a luxury.
It's a luxury.
What a luxury.
Yeah, what a luxury. But here's the thing. I'm watching this Ben Simmons, and I don't want to compare the two because that's premature also. But Ben Simmons, at least the first 18 games, 20 games, has looked pretty close to Magic Johnson. What do you like about the Sixers?
I love the young talent that they have in Philadelphia now. I think the Philadelphia needs a guy like Joel Embiid. They needed somebody to come in and, you know, commit to the franchise.
Right.
You know, even if they did get a free agent, and you know, they might buy that free agent for what, 2, maybe 3 years, and that's probably with the trade that they'll trade a player in. You know, nobody really wants to go to Philadelphia. Philadelphia is not one of those places that people are jumping to move to.
Right.
So I love the fact of that Joel Embiid and his he's so outgoing, he's personable, he's funny, and he interacts with the fans. You know, he's a super big Twitter guy.
Oh yeah.
My goodness, he says some of the wildest things on Twitter. But just somebody to ignite the excitement again for the franchise, but also be a legitimate young talent. And I'm excited for Joel Embiid to move forward. And what is he averaging? I think 23 and 11, I believe.
Yeah, he's got Will Chamberlain numbers right now.
Yeah, crazy. Packing the stat sheet. And he's also a good passer for his size as well. And I think that goes, you know, overlooked with, you know, all the Twitter hype and, you know, the scoring, the Olajuwon hook shots and stuff like that. This team is really passing the ball really well. Top five in the NBA. I think they're third with 25 a game. And if you would have asked me last year with the Philadelphia 76ers, would it be in top five in anything in the NBA? It probably wouldn't be an offensive stat.
You're right. But you know something, Philadelphia? You bring up Embiid, and I like him. He got my tweet of the week a couple of weeks ago in my column because he's so great for the city. And I hoot on Philadelphia sports teams. It's kind of like what I do. But I will say this. He needs to be healthy. And he's missed 2 games in a row now. You never know what's going to happen with those guys. You know, the one thing that I was disappointed with Philadelphia is how many mulligans they took and how often they tanked and got away with it until the NBA had to step in. I mean, if you look at that team, Dario Saric, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, those three guys right there are super picks. You got to be really lucky to get those guys on the same team. And they did. So trust the process. I guess it worked. How long will it work, though? Has Ben Simmons hit the rookie wall? I'm not even sure yet because he hasn't looked good the last couple nights. Okay, he had to deal with LeBron James and a few other things. But you got Embiid, who, like I said, has missed two games. Markelle Fultz. I had AAU coaches, Rob, tell me that this kid is a bust before he got drafted. It didn't matter where he would be drafted because he has an AAU spin move, and that's all he has, and he got away with it. And these are guys who coached against him. And I rely on these guys because these one-and-dones, you can't really tell. You know, you really can't tell. I don't have time to watch college basketball in the first place, so I kind of rely on these guys. And that's what it looks like, that's what he had. Now he's hurt. We don't know when he's coming back, but I like this team. I like their enthusiasm. I like the fact that J.J. Redick decided to take his free agent butt to Philly because he's the coach on that floor. If you watch those teams, that team play, all you see is J.J. talking to these guys and then J.J. knocking down big shots. He's loving playing with these young dudes. You know, he doesn't even live in Philly. He drives in from Brooklyn every day. He's not interested in Philly. He's interested in helping those young kids. The next NBA coach that comes out of the player ranks is going to be J.J. Redick. But I like this team. There's not much I don't like. I know they're sitting outside of the playoff picture. It's only 25 games in. Even if they don't make it this season for whatever reason, there's a lot of reason to be excited in Philadelphia. That's for sure. Now, what about the Detroit Pistons? What do you like about the Pistons this year? Because everybody thought they were a surprise, except for me. I expected this, actually.
Well, I can't say that I expect this out of the Detroit Pistons. I think the addition of Avery Bradley definitely helped out. A versatile defender, you know, a two-way guy who can, you know, who could both knock down shots, get to the rim. I love the improvement in Avery's game since coming to the league. He was primarily known as a ball stopper, an on-ball defender, really. And he's really expanded his offensive game. So, you know, kudos to that guy. And like I said, I love to see player development in any way, shape, or form. And Avery's definitely one of those guys who's put in the work in the offseason. It definitely shows in the regular season. But I do also like the all-star type of play that Tobias Harris is on right now.
Right.
He's shooting the ball crazy right now. But 46%, around 46 from the three-point line. And if you told me last year that Tobias would have been shooting it like that, I probably wouldn't believe you. Averaging 20 a game. Just the guard play all around, you know, Reggie Jackson has really been great for them shooting at. I think he's having a career high shooting the field goal percentage this year too. And also we got Andre Drummond doing his normal walking double double, monstrous rebounding putback king. He has improved his free throw percentage this year. Another guy that's really been putting in a lot of work in the offseason. So I'm actually not totally sold on the Detroit Pistons right now. I think they started off hot. I think they'll hit a wall somewhat soon. I mean, I think they dropped three in a row pretty recently. Mm-hmm. I think January is going to be a tough month for them.
Well, they've lost six in a row, actually, but they've had a tough time, but they've also had a good time. And the reason they have a good time is because Reggie Jackson showed up on time. He was healthy at the beginning. They do this thing, though, that kind of drives me crazy from a fantasy standpoint, is they stagger the minutes between Reggie and Ish Smith. But that's okay. I can see it because sometimes, you know, Reggie Jackson is a volatile guy. If you remember when he played for the Oklahoma City Thunder, he single-handedly beat the Memphis Grizzlies in Game 6 when Russell Westbrook was out. So, I mean, this is a guy who knows how to play. He knows how to be a star, but sometimes his star gets in the way. You know, that happens sometimes. Sometimes he's his own worst enemy. I think Stan Van Gundy's done a great job. I love what you said about Avery Bradley, and I concur. And this is a big shout out to Brad Stevens, because Brad Stevens has developed a lot of young guys already. And it's, I'm not a big fan of Brad Stevens, but I'm not like bashing him anymore, if that makes sense. I used to bash him until he proved that he could win a playoff thing. You know, they talk about him being the top three coach. I never saw that. I still don't see that. But one thing I do see is Avery Bradley has found his little niche. He likes playing in Detroit. And I think this is a good team. But Andre Drummond, double-double machine. He's a funny guy. He's a very talented young man. And I think him and Reggie Jackson have this very good communication on the court. There are times when they get into it because, well, they're the type of people who do, you know. Reggie Jackson can get in a fight with himself in his own house. I mean, he can do it all by himself. So I can understand that. But I like the Pistons. I like the Pistons' chances of making the playoffs. I like where they're at. I know that they've hit a wall. But anytime you're on the plus differential side of things, that always means that good things are happening. You know, you're losing heartbreakers. You're losing tough ones. You know, you're losing games you probably were supposed to lose. Now it's time for them to win a few of those games. And when they do again, they're going to be pretty good, I think. That's at least that's my theory on the Detroit Pistons. Now, let me see here. See, we're rolling right through. I told you, Rob, I've done this before, and I think we're going to be all right tonight. And the Golden State Warriors. What do you like about the Golden State Warriors?
You know, as a basketball fan, what is there not to like about the Golden State Warriors?
Well, I'll give you a few in a minute.
Well, what I like about the Warriors is that, you know, they're still, you know, they're still showing that they are the team to beat any NBA. You know, I love the unselfish play from everybody. Steve Curry has these guys on a whole nother level. I'm still a fan of Mark Jackson and what Mark Jackson helped do with those teams and those guys that were already in place when, you know, Steve Kerr kind of inherited that. So no knock on Steve Kerr at all, but I am still a fan of Mark Jackson and his philosophies. But these guys are definitely still playing at a really high level. They don't show it consistently because they still they do still make bonehead passes and the bonehead decisions once in a while. But they've shown that they can flip the switch when they need to. They're still a great defensive team, not quite where they were last year. They're still top 10 defensive rating and, you know, still leading the league in a lot of categories, assists, offensive rating, points and blocks, and also three-point percentage. You know, you got Splash Brothers plus Swaggy P now. I still really like the Warriors. And, you know, I'm a LeBron James guy. And those Cavs, we'll talk about the Cavs a little bit later, but
nah, we're not talking about the Cavs. I'm sick of the Cavs. I'm only kidding, man. We're gonna get into that one for sure.
But yeah, I still like the Warriors are the favorite, man. They're the team that beat this year.
Okay. You know something? You're right. They're third in the NBA in defensive efficiency. You know, not there hasn't been a team outside of the top 10 in defensive efficiency to not win a championship. You have to have a top 10 defensive team. They're also like number two or number one in offense. So, I mean, they're pretty good. They're really good. The closest thing to them is the Houston Rockets. Now, the one thing that I don't like about that team is they whine a lot. They're like leading the league in techs, leading the league in player ejections. Kevin Durant got bounced in two of his last four games. I don't know what happened to Kevin Durant. I saw the fight. I actually did the game, and I saw the fight between him and DeMarcus Cousins. And I said on the air while I was doing the game, Kevin Durant went west and thinks he's Tupac now. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. And the thing is he's not a tough guy at all. He's not even a legit tough guy. I mean, I don't get that. I don't see what he has to try to prove. I mean, whatever. He's the one who decided to leave Oklahoma City. He's the one who decided to join the team that he couldn't beat. That's on him. So why cry about it? You know, it came out good. He walks around. Anytime somebody says anything to him, he points to his ring finger. Okay, that's great. I've got a finger for him too, but I'm more of a professional. I don't do that. But this is a really good team. You know, this is a super good team, actually. And Steph Curry's out. They don't miss a beat. Why should they? They've got Durant to score. The guy who doesn't get talked about so much, who should be getting talked about more, maybe he likes it that way, is Klay Thompson. You know, he brought up the Splash Brothers. They are still the Splash Brothers. When you have a true shooting percentage, you know true shooting. This is a serious thing. Their true shooting percentage is 61.6. Huh? There's only one other team close to them, and that's the Houston Rockets at 60.4%. That's insane, okay? And that's a jump shooting team, as is Houston. That's insane, okay? This they're playing such great basketball that it's a pity that they're both in the same conference, in the same division. Or not in the same division, the same conference. It's a pity.
That'll definitely be something to see in the finals. You know, a Houston team and a Warriors team, such offensive firepower. My goodness.
And defense. You know, Houston's defense is right there with them. They're in the top five in defense. And that's what's so amazing about Houston. People aren't talking about Houston, but I know you're going to disagree with this. And that's okay, because that's what I will expect you to do. I think Houston is a better team than Golden State right now.
Right now?
I say right this moment
they are. Houston is a better team. Right now.
Right now.
Right, yeah, right this moment they are. I don't think it's the type of performance that James Harden, he's at that level. You know, in the season right now, James Harden is MVP of the league, and the numbers that he's putting up are crazy, crazy numbers.
Video
it's
game
not
numbers.
Sustainable. Video game numbers, NBA 2K numbers. But I don't think it's sustainable over, you know, an 82-game stretch. And also, I don't think he'd be scoring like that, you know. I don't think he'd be playing like that against a Warriors defense as well.
Well, I don't know. But here's the thing. I think, you know, one of the things that worried me about Houston is that they would adopt Chris Paul's Eeyore personality, and they haven't done that yet. And I think that's Mike D'Antoni's doing. I like the way he staggers those guys. He plays them at the beginning together, him and Harden, and then he plays them at the end together, and it's almost like you're watching two separate teams. You're watching this fast-paced team with James Harden pushing the ball up, and then you got Chris Paul kind of lagging behind when he runs the show, and they don't miss a beat either way. And that's a credit to D'Antoni. I know he gets a bad knock, but this defense that they put together, it's really quite good. They stay within themselves. You know, Ryan Anderson has played really well for them on the road. I don't get that. You know, you play college basketball. What's the deal there with the home? Because I played tennis and everything was an away game for me. But why is it that he can't shoot at home? He says he's colorblind and the seats mess him up or something. I don't know. I don't get that.
Oh, I mean, to be honest, I don't super understand that either, because I was the kind of guy that I know I fed off the energy of the crowd. You know, the home crowd really, you know, put me on a whole nother level.
Right.
You know, I say that, and, you know, my greatest career performance was actually on the road.
34 points, right?
Because, you know, we had, it was about 36.
Oh, 36. I'm sorry. I missed
36
there.
36 points. Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's I'm old guy. I kind of forget good, things. Man.
Yeah, not at all. You're good. But yeah, my best game was on the road as well. But that's because, you know, the opponent fans were really jawing at me, so I had to definitely go at their best player.
Of course.
So I don't truly understand that either. But hey, well, you got a guy like James Harden on your team, anything's possible.
Anything's possible. But Houston's decent, and Clint Capella does a nice job down there. And they've got these other pieces, too, and I think they're going to be fine. Eric Gordon, he probably won't win Sixth Man of the Year, but then again, he doesn't need to. It was really interesting, though, when Chris Paul was out, and that also bodes well because Chris Paul gets hurt every year. Now that they've gotten that out of the way at the beginning, it might be all right for the end of the season. But the thing is Eric Gordon, when he came in for Chris Paul, he was lighting it up. And I think he's the one that got hurt the most with Chris Paul joining the team, because now they don't really need him that much. You know, they've got this 1-1A type of score, so they don't need him. But I really like what Houston's doing this year. I think it's going to be a Houston-Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. I could be wrong. It's only 25 games into the season. But it does appear that they're playing good basketball. I like both of those teams. And then we have the Thunder. Now I have plenty.
And then
of
we have the Thunder.
As you know this already, I have, you know, do you remember a football game that I ref that you played in and they were jawing at me and you told them, "Are you stupid? He doesn't care what you say. He's got people who really hate him."
I do remember that, actually.
Yeah. Well, it was
that was a real chippy game.
Yeah, but I was reffing it by myself. I did all right. You know what? I kept it under control, but you said a good point because there is no fan base on earth that hates me more than the Oklahoma City Thunder fan base. And for reasons I guess I deserve and earned. But what do you like about that team? What seems to be off about them? Because they're barely 500.
I'm just not a fan of the offense that they're running. And, you know, a lot of guys are really hooked on the names of guys, and they're not really super understanding of play styles and, you know, and fit and, you know, how they mesh with teammates and how their play style affects other guys and coaching. I'm just not a fan of Carmelo Anthony, just to put it bluntly. You know, and it in his young years, maybe he's just not the scorer that everybody thinks that he is anymore. To be honest, he's a ball stopper. He's a guy that's gonna, you know, catch the ball and, you know, plan to isolate, catch it on the high block, make a move, step back jumper, or, you know, take him down to the post because he is a bully. Not to take anything away from his offensive game, he can still definitely score the ball at a high clip. He's not getting one. I don't think he's getting quality shots. Two, he's just not used to sharing the basketball, and that takes an adjustment for a guy who's been the guy on every team that he's been on in the league. And Paul George is another guy that I think he would mold well with Russell Westbrook. But you have to do something when you have a guy like Russell Westbrook who is ball dominant and is best with the ball in his hands. I think you need to do a little bit better job as an organization to put guys around him that are more willing to play off of him and actually can capitalize when they play off of him. Carmelo Anthony's not one of those guys. And we've got a lot of guys that compare, USA Carmelo Anthony played really well with, you know, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And, well, yeah, who wouldn't play well with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade when they're in their peak of their careers? So I think it's not really fair to Carmelo Anthony to kind of compare OKC Carmelo to USA Carmelo because they're two different players to, you know, to call it what it is. And at this point in his career, he's kind of a tweener. You know, where do you play him? You can't play him at the three because he definitely can't stay in front of threes. Well, what do you play him at the four and play, you know, quote unquote small ball? Well, you know, there's guys that are going to be able to bank. He can't really rebound. And I heard the name of a former NBA player who is now an analyst, you know, say that, Carmelo Anthony is a great rebounder. Boy, was that an eyebrow raiser for me at that moment in time. I was like, what? Carmelo Anthony is maybe by the stretch of somebody's imagination. That Carmelo is a great rebounder, but no, he doesn't rebound the ball well enough to play the four spot. So I think you have lineup issues, you have matchup issues when you have Carmelo on the floor, and especially when you don't have a guy to stretch the, you don't have another guard to really stretch the floor to complement a Carmelo or a Russell Westbrook and a guy like Roberson.
There you go. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I don't want to knock his game because I really like the guy's game. He is a role player. He's one of those guys that's going to come in, give you great energy. He's going to rebound the ball for you. He's going to finish off of the catch, maybe off of a backdoor cut, or he can definitely finish above the rim as well. But he's not a guy that's going to stretch the floor for you. You need someone to maximize Russell Westbrook's talent. You need to stretch the floor. And, you know, you got Carmelo starting. You got Paul George, Andre Roberson. I don't even know who starts with the four for them. And you got Steven Adams. So, well,
that's who starts at the four, Carmelo.
Oh, yeah, Carmelo. Okay, yeah. So,
yeah. But you know what? Did you happen to see the game they played against the Grizzlies on Saturday?
I did not.
Oh, you missed out. I was because I do this Grizzly show that I have for years for Memphis Flyer, the local newspaper there. And I got to tell you, so I'm watching the Memphis Grizzlies feed. And they cut, you know, when you watch the games, they don't show, like, everything, you know, whatever. And you miss out on some good things. Well, the Grizzlies people actually were showing this. Carmelo Anthony, during a timeout, was sitting at the scorer's table. And Donovan had to go get him. And Brevin Knight said something. He goes, you know, I don't know how most teams do it, but is that how they do it? Because aren't you supposed to be in the huddle? And that's important. I'm a huddle guy when I do games. And when I covered the Knicks 3 years ago, when I came back from Greece, I used to watch huddles. Because in tennis, I coached tennis for a very long time. If your student isn't looking at you, you don't have him. And I watch huddles, and I look at that language. I look at the eyes. And I don't see anybody looking at Billy Donovan. And I don't think it's fair to blame it on Billy Donovan. I just think he's got guys who are coach killers, Carmelo Anthony primarily. And I couldn't see him going to Houston because, well, he got Mike D'Antoni fired. So what are you going to do with Carmelo? I like Carmelo as a human. Like I said, I've covered the Knicks, and I like Carmelo as a human. But my first column was Carmelo Anthony, the ball stops here. And that's what they have. Then you also have Russell Westbrook, who is this freakishly good athlete, but he's not very good at basketball. You'd think a guy that's been in the league that long would understand how to play a little better by now, but he still does the same dumb things he did as a rookie. I used to call him third row on this show, Rob, because every third pass wound up in the third row. And I think that still fits. But this team is going nowhere. The Thunder will not go anywhere. For reasons being, they don't know how to build a roster. You basically said it in a kind way. They don't know how to build a roster. If this was a fantasy basketball team, they would be in last place.
I agree. And, you know, just to kind of piggyback off your point, who do they have as a sixth man or a seventh man? I don't even know who comes off the bench for them.
See, this is how they do it. Billy's blindfolded and he throws a dart at the dartboard, and whoever's picture he hits, that's your sixth man for the night. Because they have Ray Felton coming off the bench sometimes. And then they have, sometimes they bring in Josh Hystis or Hustis. They bring him in sometimes. Terrence Ferguson. It just depends. It's like, it's like a lottery pick, really. Oh, it's your turn tonight. They have no bench. That's the problem. When they traded for Carmelo Anthony, they depleted their bench. When they traded for Paul George, they depleted their bench. You know, Vic, it's really interesting, and I'll bring this up because this is why Thunder fans hate me so much. Because I point out the obvious that they don't see yet. They're a young fan base, and I give them a break for it. But here's the thing. You have this team. You have this guy, Russell Westbrook. Why is it that every player that leaves the Thunder, and I mean every player that leaves him, has better years on another team?
Talking about Oladipo?
I'm talking about not just him, Ibaka. I remember Ibaka came right out in the newspaper and said he was pissed off. He said, how is it possible that I can play defense for 6 or 8 minutes and not get one touch? And then you've got Durant, who had a better season without Russell, and they won a championship. You've got Oladipo. You've got Domantas Sabonis. You have Reggie Jackson. All these guys leave there and succeed wherever they go. Why is that?
Well, you had Kevin Durant, who left for a super team, and of course he's going to win a championship out there in Oakland. But Russell Westbrook's, I've always said that his greatest skill, I'm sorry, I'm not even going to say skill because he's just a freak athlete.
Freak athlete.
I would say his greatest attribute is also a lot of other guys is, you know, it hinders a lot of other guys. His usage rate is through the roof. So Russell Westbrook is your offense. And if he's not shooting the ball, then he's passing the ball. And I've always thought, you know, a triple-double is a triple-double. And you can't really take anything away from it statistically. But I'm kind of looking at it from a team continuity standpoint. You know, if you made plays specifically to try to get guys shots versus you making plays because of the defense is reacting to you and you have to make a play out of that, there's a difference there. And there's a certain type of trust that you earn from your teammate when you're when you're urging them to, and you're making it a point to get them the basketball. And to me, that's always been the difference between Carmelo Anthony and a LeBron James.
Wow. Great point.
And he's always been the better, you know, team player. He's getting guys involved still at this point in his career. You see LeBron James go sometimes first for the whole first quarter. He might take maybe three shots, but you know who has the second most shots? And the guy who he knows really needs to get going is Kevin Love. You see Kevin Love, he has about 1 or 2 3-point shots made. He's into the first quarter with about 11 points, about 4 or 5 rebounds, having a great first quarter. That's because LeBron James is initiator of the offense, and he knows how important it is to get the other guys on board.
Man.
That's something that Carmelo has always missed for his whole career. And I think Russell Westbrook is in the same boat as Carmelo Anthony. He makes plays because of his athleticism. He doesn't make plays to get other guys involved. Kevin Durant sensed that, and it's been more apparent than ever in playoff series when, your turn, my turn. And when you get to those higher levels and late in the playoffs and you play good, at least decent defensive teams, they're going to lock in on that. Everybody in the world sees the fact that Russell Westbrook isn't an excellent playmaker. He isn't an excellent teammate. And when you're a smart coach, you're playing against guys like Steve Kerr, you know, Popovich. I'll throw Stevens in there too. You're playing against coaches that know how to, you know, kind of hone in on that and use what you think is an advantage to a disadvantage. You get guys like Russell Westbrook that look like they make really bonehead moves and they turn the ball over. It just happens that way.
It's by design. That's exactly right. That's the best analogy I've heard in a long time, man. What great breakdown.
Oh, thank you, Phil.
Well, you're welcome, dude. I'm serious. That's why you're on the show. But you know, the thing is, too, I used to refer to Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant as the catch and choke brothers, because that was also by design. Because the coaches, it was easy to plan for them, because with 4 minutes to go, they were the only two that would ever touch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to plan for that. But I don't think the Thunder are going to go too far. But the team people are talking about in the East, we'll get to the Cavs at the end. We'll make the Cavs fans wait.
Yeah.
Let him be the caboose tonight. Is the Boston Celtics?
Oh, those boys balling in Boston.
Hey, our Caribou friends. Oh, they're big Boston fans. You know what they did? Hey, when Gordon Hayward signed, those guys came running down to the tennis this summer wearing Celtics jerseys and yapping. And then I said, you know what? It was funny. Right before Kyrie announced that he wanted to be traded, one of the little guys, they were asking me what I thought about the Cavs and Kyrie. I said, there's a big problem there. They don't like each other, him and LeBron. I shouldn't have said it out loud, but I did. And then when he announced that he wanted to be traded, it was because of LeBron, a little guy comes up to me and he goes, I need to know how you knew that. I said, well, whatever. But what do you like about the Celtics, bro? What do you like about them? Because I think – go ahead.
Let me rephrase that. I love the fact that Kyrie Irving believed in himself and, you know, he had enough balls to really step away from, in my opinion, you know, one or two greatest guys to ever play this game. He stepped away from that situation. You know, they did have their, you know, their differences and, he did bite the bullet a couple of times and he had a sacrifice. You know, he didn't know LeBron was going to be coming back to Cleveland when he signed that extension with the Cavs. So he got kind of thrown a monkey wrench into his plan. So I love the fact that Kyrie Irving is really taking his game to another level. And it's weird to say that because you see how he played in the finals and how he willed them to a championship. And the only thing that he really had to prove, you know, as a ball player is that he can run his own club and be the guy on a winning team. And he's shown that so far up to this point in the season. He's shown that, you know, he thought that he was worth, you know, he was worth the money. He thought he was worth the trade. And, you know, he really went out there and he's making these guys better. He's still the closer that he's always been. And I think personally, my opinion is of why he really wanted to leave. I think he really wanted to be coached. And excuse me. And as long as you play with a LeBron James, I don't think that you are going to really get a quality head coaching.
No, you're right.
And I mean, and the type of what, just look at history. What type of coaches have LeBron actually really played with?
Eric Spoelstra was pretty good.
He was pretty good. I think he was a good, you know, kind of like a chess player. He knew how to play his pieces where he needed to play his pieces. Would you take Spo over Brad Stevens?
Yes. I would, only because of the experience that he has.
Oh, okay.
You know, anytime that you have a guy who went to the finals three straight years, you're going to learn something. Any guy who's under Pat Riley, you're going to learn something. I like Spoelstra.
Oh, I like Spo too, but I just can't ignore what, you know, just what Brad Stevens is doing with these guys. He has these guys playing great defense and playing great team basketball. And one thing that, and I think that's what the biggest thing was for Kyrie. I think he just really wanted to be coached, so I can't really knock him for that.
Okay. That's what I think too. You know, he didn't want to play with LeBron. There was a problem there, a very big disconnect. For what you just said, it's because he just didn't he didn't know LeBron was coming back. It was his team, and then it wasn't his team. And I think he wanted to fly, and he wanted to be coached. And, you know, they talk about his defense getting better. It didn't get better. That's fool's gold. If you actually know what you're looking at a coach who knows how to hide him better. That's all. You know, you have guys who like Marcus Smart next to him and Jaylen Brown next to him and these fellas who hide him. And it doesn't affect him as much. Whereas in Cleveland, you had no one playing defense or hardly anyone playing defense. And it showed more. That's all. But Brad Stevens, here you go. My friend Jason, who's going to be on the show probably next week, he's a monster Celtics fan. And I'm going to give you this. I give all the credit in the world to Brad Stevens for what this basketball team has been able to do. I was in the arena the night that Gordon Hayward broke his kneecap.
Oh, man.
Whatever it was he broke. That was horrific. His ankle, excuse me. It was horrible. You could hear it. I was that close. And you could hear something happened. And you could see the look of on the faces of the players, both teams, that something happened. You know what it was, though? It was a bad pass by Kyrie Irving because he's so used to throwing it up there for LeBron James. He just underthrew it. That's all. Hayward wasn't going to dunk on Tristan Thompson and LeBron, but that's neither here nor there. What happened from that shows who Brad Stevens is as a coach. He motivated these young guys who saw something completely horrific. The same thing, similar thing happened to Paul George, and half the Team USA left, including Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. Those kids could have checked out at any time for the Celtics and say, hey, this was bad. But instead, they won 16 straight games. They lost the second game, obviously. But it's all about who Brad Stevens is and what they've been able to accomplish under a system that works. You know, people talk about the Thunder again. Well, we have a new team. No one has a new team like Brad Stevens has. They have 11 new faces on that team, including four new starters. Mm-hmm. And they're still winning games. So save that argument, Blunder fans, because that's not going to fly around here either. The simple fact is you've got these guys who a lot of them are overachieving, probably because they've been motivated by a great motivator, someone who cares about them and believes in them. Like when Gordon Hayward was leaving the arena at the queue, there were a whole bunch of guys that were going to carry. It's hard to get a guy out of there on a stretcher. It really is. It's mm-hmm. hard to get a guy out of an NBA arena on a stretcher. Brad Stevens walked over there and asked one of the guys to let him do it. Let him be there. He goes, it's my job. And that right there, I was there. I saw the whole thing. And I got to tell you, my hat's off to the Boston Celtics and what they've been able to accomplish. Look, their turnovers. Listen to this. Their turnovers are amazing. They're averaging 13.2 turnovers a game with a brand new freaking team. How do you do that? That's a brand new team.
That's coaching.
It's coaching. It's a system.
And like I said, I mean, that's what guys want to be a part of. And, well, I would say smart guys, because I don't know what guys like Carmelo Anthony are thinking going to OKC. but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
But you know, another what I think is a nice product of a system and a great systematic type player, and I think he goes under the radar a lot of the times, is Al Horford.
Oh yeah.
And you saw it back when the Atlanta Hawks were an elite team in the Eastern Conference. They had the one seed about what? How many years ago was that? Like what? Four years?
It was 3 seasons ago because I used to host the Peachtree Hoops podcast.
Yeah, yeah. And they were an elite team, and I'm not sure if Al Horford was an All Star that year.
Yes, he was. But, they had 4 All Stars on that team.
And he was a great. You know, he was one of the main pieces of that because he's so versatile. He can play inside, he can play outside, mm-hmm. and he's such an underrated passer. So can you speak a little bit about, you know, how important a guy like Al Horford and his skill set is to a team like the Celtics?
Oh, absolutely I can. You know, if you're watching a stat sheet, and here's the deal. If you think that Al Horford sucks, it's because you look at stats. That's right there tells me you don't know shit about basketball if you think that. Al Horford, if there was a stat called sets, how many screens you set, and that counted like fantasy owners and whatever, Al Horford would be right up there in the top 5. Al Horford does things that the stat sheet don't show. He sets picks. He sets screens. He is the quarterback of that defense. I mean, he's not the greatest rebounder out there. Let's not get that twisted. But let me say this again, and he's a part of this, is the scheme. I asked Brad Stevens point blank in a news conference, a press conference, why is it that you can't seem to get anyone to rebound after 4 years? And this year he kind of showed me because they're like right in the top 10 in rebounding now. And I was right, of course. His team sucked as rebounders. But Al Horford has taken on a bigger role in that. He's very athletic too. And the thing is he's smart. When he catches you in the corner, he knows how to trap you. He's very clever at sneaking over and providing the trap. And more importantly, he's got the respect of the refs, and they don't call ticky-tack fouls on him. And he gets away with some things because of that respect. And he's tough to freaking go against. And when he's part of that trap, that's it. You don't get around him. And that's what makes him so good. The high IQ, you talked about that earlier in the show. I don't think there's a smarter guy out there. I mean, I would put him right up there with basketball IQ with LeBron James. I mean, he sees the floor really well. He knows how to make the right pass. But unlike LeBron, well, LeBron's unselfish too, I guess. But this guy will set screens. He takes charges. He's not a crybaby. He's not the biggest vocal leader in that clubhouse either, but he doesn't have to be because he leads by example. Those are things that don't show up on the stat sheet, and that's why Boston is where they are today. He's the main reason. And you know the other reason is that great chemistry that developed right away between him and Kyrie Irving. They're running the pick and roll together like it was – they've been doing it. They look like Stockton and Malone sometimes.
Oh, my goodness. The pick and roll is crazy with Kyrie and – in Al, and in ways that I feel like I haven't seen it ran between two guys like that.
Not often.
Yeah, that often, and have a converting percentage like that in a while.
That's incredible.
Seen it in a while.
Exactly, but that's what I think. That's what Horford brings. The other guy I like on that team is Marcus Smart. Now his stuff doesn't show up in the stat sheet either, but he'll take your best guy and he'll guard you for 40 minutes. And he don't care.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
he's another hard-nosed guy that's gonna go after it. And they got a bunch of guys like that. You know, Rozier is another guy like that.
Yep.
You know, is gonna come off the bench and really go at the other guy. Really scrappy guard and provide the things that, like you said about Al Horford. You know, do the things that don't really show up in the box score, but you know, it goes with the game plan and. It contributes to W's.
Sure does. I don't see them winning. I don't see them getting to the finals, though. I don't think they got enough to get past Cleveland, but it doesn't matter. They don't have to because at some point they will. And they still got about 5,000 draft picks and a lot of money, and they can do whatever they need to do. I don't think that they missed a beat from last season, and that's a testament, again, to Brad Stevens. Finally, Rob, we get to the Cavs. I know I didn't put them in the show notes, and then you asked me about that because I get tired of talking about the Cavs. And then I get their little bloggers who've never been to the Q, the Quicken Loans Arena. What does he know? You know, I just live down the street. You know. But here's the thing. What do you like about them?
Well, honestly, I don't like a lot about this team right now. I'm gonna be real. Like, just looking at the roster, I'm not sold that this is a championship caliber team. Okay. I don't like the fact that, you know, Tristan Thompson isn't really playing at the level that he usually does play on. And because I'm a huge advocate for, like, those glue guys. And Tristan Thompson is definitely a glue guy, and who has been in the past for the Cavaliers.
Right.
I don't know how many times in playoff series and in the finals, and, you know, more specifically, that plays were made because Tristan Thompson is out there doing nothing but hustling and grabbing offensive rebounds. And, you know, they already don't have a post presence. Not to say that Tristan Thompson is the greatest rim protector out there, because he's, you know, he's no DeAndre Jordan, or, you know, he's no Dwight Howard, but he's definitely an energy guy. He's going to do he's going to set a lot of screens. He's going to roll to the rim hard, and, you know, he's going to play hard on defense too. You know, he's a guy that sometimes here and there, depending on the matchup, you can trust to switch on a screen and, you know, stay home and stay disciplined. You know, they're shooting it a lot better now. What game streak are they on now? I think last I checked, they were like on a 12-game streak or something like that.
They've won 9 of the last 10. They had like 12 games and then they lost. But they're doing all right. You know, Tristan Thompson's hurt. He's been hurt for a while. It's really strange. You know, they wanted to. What I don't understand about the Cavs is why in the world would you want to start Kevin Love at the 5? That doesn't make sense to me. He's a stretch 4 if there ever was one. Maybe he's the 5 in a small ball lineup for maybe 7 or 8 minutes. But they don't have the tools to do that, the weapons to do that. They really don't. I like what they've – I really like the trade for Kyrie Irving. I think they did well for their future by getting that Brooklyn pick. I think they're going to be a much different team when Isaiah Thomas goes out there, because Isaiah Thomas is already a guy with a chip on his shoulder, and now Danny Ainge ticked him off. So you don't want that. Now he's got a double-dip chip, and that's going to be difficult to deal with. He's going to bring something to them, too, with the energy. It's fun watching the Cavs play because you see Isaiah on the sidelines every night. The first guy on the court high-fiving everybody. I saw him over there at the Q the other night, and he was doing his drills, and he looked really good. He's really worked on his shot, by the way. He's going to be a dangerous guy. But their roster, let's face it, they're old.
Yeah, definitely.
Geritol IVs, you know, all the way around.
The move with Dwayne Wade, I don't totally understand that move, other than, you know, trying to get the banana boat back together.
Yeah, well, but, the banana boat, they sent the other bananas down in Oklahoma City, and they're probably thanking God for that.
Well, I mean, honestly, well, yeah, I suppose. But I just don't understand the move that Dwayne Wade for Dwayne Wade. I don't see where he fits in on this roster. Mm-hmm. In the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, offensive scheme. You know, because D Wade, he's not gonna stretch the floor for you. I mean, he can handle the ball for you. He can make plays on the ball. But you know, why would you want to take the ball out of LeBron James's hands? And when Isaiah Thomas comes back, you know, Isaiah's going to be sharing ball handling responsibilities with LeBron. So to me, I'm not sure where Dwayne Wade fits in on this team.
Okay, well, I think he fits in great because he comes off the bench, and that's a big part of it. He's in the running for Sixth Man of the Year. He doesn't play a lot with LeBron, and he won't play a lot with Isaiah. And he likes it that way. He loves working with Kyle Korver. They have this little system. It's really fun to watch those two. The other night, Kyle Korver was wide open and Dwayne missed him for whatever reason. And he came down the floor backwards And he said to Corver, and it was loud enough, he goes, I got you next time. Dwayne Wade gets the rebound, comes down the floor, sees Kyle, shoots it over there, bam, three-pointer, and they looked at each other and winked. That's the kind of chemistry Dwayne brings. And he's finally accepted his role there. They wanted him to be a starter, and that didn't work out because that made J.R. Smith mad, and for good reason. J.R.'s been the starter there for three seasons. Mm-hmm. He's been that guy, and he didn't want to come off the bench again. I don't blame him. Dwayne Wade's a newcomer. I don't care if he's LeBron's best buddy or not, and it has worked out. And I think that they're really doing well. They're doing well at home and on the road. They struggled early, but now that they got it sorted, I think they're going to be okay. But there's a team right there. You said coached up, and Kyrie wanted to be coached. You ain't getting coached by Tyronn Lue. You know, he's got that bedazzled look on the sidelines every time something happens. He looks like he's stunned. And I just can't help but looking at that guy that Allen Iverson made a fool out of. And I just can't get over that. I've seen Tyronn Lue in practices. He doesn't say much. If anybody's telling you that he's getting in people's faces and saying shut up, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think at the most he can be, you know, kind of that disciplinary kind of coach to kind of, you know, to kind of lay the law down when things are messing up. And I feel like he doesn't have a problem being that guy. And I think he proved that like the first year that he was with the Cavs, when people were second guessing his ability to coach, you know, and get a hold of LeBron James and kind of, you know, put LeBron James in his place. And I think he can be that type of coach, but you know, he's not a guy that's gonna come out and make adjustments. And I don't think he's gonna be winning very many coaching matchups in the playoffs.
Well, he's not good. LeBron's the coach and the general manager and soon to be the owner too. LeBron's not going anywhere, but this has been a fun show, dude. Thank you so much for being here, dude. Really, I'm so happy to have you here.
Honestly, man, I'm blessed to have the opportunity to come on the show with you. Thank you for having me, and I hope that we can do this again sometime soon, man.
We're going to do this again sometime soon, for sure. Now, how do people find you on the internet? Now, you're not really doing a show yet or not doing a site yet. You were going to, but you're on Twitter, right?
Nah, I don't have the site up yet. That's still under construction, but that'll be out pretty soon.
Good.
And you can find me on Twitter at Pure Point Hoops.
Pure Point Hoops, at Pure Point Hoops.
At Pure Point Hoops.
That's right. Rob Holloway. Remember that name, folks. He's going to be a big star in this business when he gets around to starting.
Yeah, man, I'm up and coming.
I'm
passionate about this stuff, man. I bring a different viewpoint to the game because, you know, I played it. And I like to think that I think the game more cerebrally versus, you know, just statistics and just watching games. You know, I can bring my experience, stats, and also what I see out on the court, bring it all together and give it to you guys raw, uncut, with no package.
Well, there you go. And that's the way we want it. Until next time, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly,
ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.